Matthew chapter 5. This is the second part of a message that I gave because of a snowstorm we had last month. There are five or six parts to it. I covered only two, and I entitled that message, Have You Heard? So I shall entitle the second part of the message, The Wisdom of Not Believing Everything You Have Heard. Matthew chapter 5, I'll have to give you a little review, tell you about the first two things I discussed, and so I will touch on them briefly, and then proceed to the other things. Look at verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5. Think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, look at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 31. It was said also, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that every one that putteth away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, maketh her an adulteress. And whosoever shall marry her when she is put away, committed adultery. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your speech be yea, yea, nay, nay, and whatsoever is more than these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, Resist not evil, but whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man would go to law with thee and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it was said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Ye therefore shall be perfect, as your heavenly Father is Perfect. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the words of your Son. How few they are, considering all the issues of life. How few are the words thy Son has spoken concerning them, and yet they are sufficient. We are thankful, our Father, that being in this world of darkness, we are not without light, and traveling to a destination of which we know nothing, we are not without a guide. But thy Son hath spoken, thy Son hath shined upon our paths, and we have read from this word that comes from thy hand, spoken by man, but inspired by thee, our Father. We have read from this book concerning the truth of the things under consideration. We pray that we shall understand them. Let our thinking be the thinking of thy Son, for this thinking is that which is acceptable in thy sight. And let our time together be profitable. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised. We confess them. And prepare the hearts of those who hear and the lips of him who speaks. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Perhaps life should be spent in a twofold way, gathering all the information you can about life, and then carefully examining all that you've learned, trying to determine whether it's right or wrong. What happens is that so many people gather knowledge, but they never discriminate, and that's bad. The only worst thing is for a person never to seek after wisdom. The second worst thing is this: to seek after wisdom and then to accept without examination that which you think is wisdom. For that reason, Matthew chapter 5 is invaluable, because our Savior does for us what we should have done for ourselves. He tells us things that are right, but not wholly right. Therein lies the danger. For you to hear something that is right and to accept it as completely right without examining the way our Savior does. What has happened in my life is this. I studied the scriptures way back, that is, in a special way, 1947. Think of that, over 40 years ago. And I accrued much information. And these last 40 years, I have been discarding part of that which I was instructed, keeping some, throwing away the rest. Sad to say, some of those that went to school with me have never discarded some of the things that they heard, and God would condemn them for this. As you listen to me or any other man, you are to be a lady or a gentleman. You are to receive what is said with all readiness of mind, and then if there is any nobility to you, you are to search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. There is the reception, but then there is the searching of the scriptures daily whether these things are so. Unfortunately, those to whom our Savior spoke were not able to search the scriptures because they were unable to read. That is why in the synagogue, those who could read would rise and read, and as in the book of Nehemiah, you will find that there were special times when scribes such as Ezra would read the word of God distinctly, would give the sense, would explain the word of God to the people. And our Savior addresses two classes of people. if a man were educated, the Savior would say, "What saith the Scripture? How readest thou?" But here, he does not say, "You have read," but "You have heard." And therein lies the responsibility of those who teach and the responsibility of you who hear to think through what is spoken to you from this pulpit, from any pulpit, on radio or television, literature, to read it and then intelligently to decide whether it's right or wrong. Everything that our Savior comments on in this chapter is good in part, but none of it is completely good. You say, how is that? Is it good? Does the Bible teach thou shalt not kill? You say, yes, that's good. Not unless it's thoroughly examined. Well, does the Bible teach thou shalt not commit adultery? Yes. Is it not good not to commit adultery? Yes. But you have to examine it further. The Bible says you shall not perjure yourself. Is that good? Yes. But you have to think it through. There's more to it than that. And about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and loving your neighbor and hating your enemy, all of those things are good if they are examined and if they are discriminating. But if you do not discriminate, then they are bad. They can destroy you. And that is what has happened to those who are humanists in the world today. When a murderer runs rampant and is destroying and killing, and then the humanists say, do nothing about it. Or a man is a rapist, or a man is an adulterer, and they say, nobody is perfect. Or if a man tells a lie or makes a promise, he told a lie. Well, just forgive. The Lord never taught anything like that. And what happens is that there are those who are superficial thinkers, and some never think at all, and they hear something, and it is good in itself, but they do not thoroughly examine that which is good, and it becomes distorted or overemphasized, and because of that, it turns out to be wrong. And many of those with whom I went to school have never examined what the teachers taught them over 40 years ago. It wasn't long when the teachers told me things, and I could not comprehend and piece together what they said. As a young man, I did the right thing. I said, they are older men. They know more than I do. Perhaps when I grow wiser, I will be able to put things together and come to the same conclusions they do. But later on, I found out that it was not I, but it was they who were wrong, and the Word of God did not lead to the conclusions that they told me. And the same thing has happened in Matthew 5, and our Savior elaborates further in Matthew chapter 23. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 23 concerning the very people who are telling them what is right and what is wrong. He said, you are fools and you are blind. Now think of that. What if people you invited to this pulpit were described by Christ as being fools and blind? Should you believe everything they tell you? You say, if they are fools and blind, why, if a blind leads a blind person, they'll both fall into the ditch. Of course they will. And if a fool takes a parable and tries to explain it, and Christ called the teachers of Israel fools and blind. And so for that reason, just because one stands in this pulpit, it does not mean that he is always wise, and he will always tell you what is right. That's why the Savior says, if anybody breaks one of these least commandments and teaches men so. I see. And so some teachers break commandments and teach other people to break commandments. And other people teach as part of the Word of God things that are not a part of the Word of God. And they compel you to do what they say is the Word of God. They have their tradition and they place their tradition at times above the scriptures. The Savior says this in Matthew chapter 15. He says, you've made void the word of God by your tradition. Full well do you reject the word of God that you may follow your tradition. And so the most important thing is to be wary of those who speak to you, especially those that you respect and love, because you will take it for granted that they would not lead you astray, but they may unwillingly, they may in ignorance lead you astray. And so the best advice is to search the scriptures daily as to whether anything you hear is so. Indeed, you have heard that it was said, things men have heard. What have they heard? You shall not kill. And if you do kill, you're going to be in danger of the judgment. That's what they heard. That's right. But the Lord Jesus said, wisdom is to think through what you've heard. Let me tell you more about thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Lord Jesus said, let me tell you more about that. Thou shalt not forswear thyself. The Lord Jesus said, let me explain. And so when anyone tells you anything, you think it through. What I have done whenever I speak to you on a subject, I seek to thoroughly prepare it and examine every reference in the entire Word of God before I tell you whether it means this or that. I could still be wrong, but at least I've seen all the sides presented from the Scripture. And let me tell you this. From what our Savior has said, his statements are ever so broad, and he expects his followers, through thought and experience, to determine what are the limitations and the qualifications of what he himself has said. You say, how could that be? He always does it that way. He will make a statement, and he expects you, through thought and experience, to determine what are its limitations and what are its qualifications. I will give you one right now. The Lord says, give to him that asketh thee, and of him that would borrow, turn not thou away. Is that not simple enough? Give to him that asketh thee. All right, I like your home. Will you give it to me? Oh, I see. You have a nice automobile. Well, I want to borrow it for the next 6 months. Would you lend it to me? Isn't that what the Lord said? And not only so, but a madman comes in and says, I want a gun. Give me a gun. And so I give him a gun. Or your little child sees some medicine that's poison and he says, Daddy, give me that poison. You would give it to him, wouldn't you? You say, of course not. That's insanity. Why, of course. But the Lord says, give to him that asketh thee. Of him that would borrow, turn not thou away. You say, but through thought, you determine the limitations and the qualifications of which he speaks. Why, of course. That's what you always have to do. So, you approach the Word of God, and at times God will tell you the limitations, will tell you the qualifications. At other times, he doesn't mention them at all. And some people make mistakes because they take the words without thinking them through, without comparing them with the rest of the Word of God, and they lead to their own destruction. When Satan said, it is written, the Lord Jesus said, again, it is written. He had compared one scripture with another scripture and came to this conclusion. This second scripture limits, it qualifies what the first scripture says. And so the best advice is to read everything that God says about a subject. And if not, require those that speak to you to have read everything the Bible says about a subject. I do not know how often this pulpit would be filled if you made that requirement. But that is what God requires, because it is with fear and trembling I speak to a man, because the Bible says, be not many of you teachers, my brethren, you shall receive the heavier judgment. And it also says that if I break a commandment and teach men so, then I'm going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. Think of that. A desire that is good would be to be near the Savior. But the Savior said, if you break the least of these commandments and teach men so, you're going to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So there is a great responsibility upon those that tell you who are unable to read or who will not read, but he will hold you responsible ultimately. So what you have to do is to examine what the Savior says. Everything that is said is good, but some of it is bad if it isn't thought through, if it isn't limited, if it isn't qualified. Now, the first thing I want to tell you that I told others is this, that our Savior believes in the death penalty. Do you realize that? He said, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill, and if you kill, you shall be in danger of the judgment. The Savior said, I will go farther than that. If you hate, if you curse, you will not only be in danger of the judgment, but you'll be in danger of hell fire. Tell me, did the Savior believe in the death penalty? You say, he believed in it more strongly than those that taught, thou shalt not kill, and if you do kill, you'll stand in judgment. He said, not only that, not only if you kill will you stand in judgment, but if you hate, if you curse, you will stand in judgment. Prove me wrong. You say, the Lord believes in the sanctity of life. Then if he does, when it says, if a man smites you or if he kills you, then you're to do nothing about it. He just told you in the first utterance that he made that you are being held responsible for killing a man. It says in Genesis chapter 9, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And it says in Romans chapter 13 that the powers that be carry the sword, and they carry it not in vain. And it says, they are God's ministers, the same word as what I am. I am a minister of God in the spiritual realm. They are ministers of God in the judicial realm. And it says they are ministers of God for good. And so the Lord Jesus believed in the death penalty. He believed in courts. And he said, not only the local court, the judgment, but the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, the tribunal. And he said, after that, there is God's eternal court that will tell you to go to hell, depart you cursed into everlasting fire, or to come to heaven. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Do you see? And so, indeed, it is good not to kill. But let me show you the devious heart of man, and this is what is so discouraging, that man, when he hears the truth, will seek every way possible to avoid doing the truth. Thou shalt not kill. And so a man says, all right, I'm not going to kill you, but I can hate you. The Lord said, no, if you hate, you're going to be in danger of the judgment. Well, if I can't hate you, I will curse you. The Lord Jesus said, if you say to a man, thou fool, you'll be in danger of hell fire. What does it mean? The Savior says, when it says, thou shalt not kill, it means you cannot kill, that is the deed. You cannot hate in your heart, that's the thought. You cannot curse the man, that's the word. You cannot kill in thought or word or deed. Do you see? And so the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. Well, then all I have to do is just not to commit the act, and all is well. The Savior said, if you have the thought, you are held responsible. And if you let that thought proceed out of your lips, he said, you're in danger of hell fire. And so the Lord said, yes, it's good not to kill, but you think you are safe just if you refrain from committing the act. The Lord said, the thought or the speech will condemn you as well. You say, I see. Now, about marriage, and this also is what is so sad. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, fine. Then if I do not commit the act, then I'm safe. The Lord Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And I can't think adultery? No. Well, I can't think it, but I want your wife. Then what I will do is this. I will get her to divorce you, and I will divorce my wife, and then I will marry her, and I will not be committing adultery. Do you see the heart of man? The Lord has said, thou shalt not commit adultery. It means that I'm not to commit the act. And so here is the deed. But there is also the thought of adultery. And then there is also divorce. I'm not to commit adultery. Actually, I'm not to commit adultery mentally. I'm not to commit adultery legally. You see, man hears what is right, and immediately he goes about doing everything in his power to break that law legally. But the Lord Jesus said, you cannot do it. Here is one who says, I'm not going to kill you, but I can hate you. He said, you're in danger of the judgment. I'll curse you. He said, you're in danger of hell fire. Well, I'm not going to commit adultery, but I can lust after you. He said, you've already committed adultery. I'll get a divorce and legally do it. The Lord Jesus said, you've made that woman an adulteress. And so when it says, I shall not commit adultery, it means you shall not commit adultery in thought or word or deed. You can't do it actually. You can't do it mentally. You can't do it legally. And then a man says, well, when the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, it means thou shalt not commit adultery. But thou shalt not commit adultery. Kill, thou shalt not kill. But nobody would take it that far. But the Lord Jesus would. And so you think that going through life, I've never committed adultery. Praise God. Have you lusted after a woman? You're guilty. I've never killed a man. Have you ever hated a man? Yes. Then you're guilty. The Lord is not excusing you because you've not done the actual deed, but he takes thought of the things in the heart, and he says, we are held responsible for that. And not only so in the Old Testament. Concerning things, it says, at night you go to sleep and you have a dream. The Lord says, when you wake up the next morning, you have to go through the ritual of cleansing yourself. You say, isn't that awful? I can't even be innocent in my dreams. Why, of course not. This is how stringent the Lord is. And the Lord said, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill. And all of you today who say, I'm not under the law, why, the same thing that the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said also in the epistles through Paul. It said, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Just because you're not under the law, it doesn't mean that you can be lewd, and just because you're not under the law, that you can hate and kill with impunity. All of these moral things, whether in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, anywhere in the New Testament, God is holding you responsible. Because you are not under the law as a way of salvation, still, all the moral precepts, all the principles that demand righteousness, God holds you responsible. And it says in heaven, why, the garments of the bride, they are the righteousnesses, the righteous acts of the saints. He still expects us to be righteous. All right. That was the review of the first two. I've introduced it. Let me show you again how every time man thinks perversely. It says, every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. Now, the Bible says, thou shalt not forswear thyself. That means to perjure yourself. If you say something, if you make God a promise, you're going to do it. He says, that's what the Bible says. But the Lord Jesus said, swear not at all, neither by heaven. And think, this is what is so funny. Here is a man who is swearing by heaven. He says, but I haven't sworn by God. The Lord Jesus said, it's the throne of God. Well, I've sworn by earth. That's not God. He said, that's God's footstool. Well, I'll swear by Jerusalem. He said, that's the city of the great king. You see how we're trying to get out of it? Because this is how circuitous these Jews were. He said, I will swear, I will make a promise, but if I don't use the name of God, it isn't necessary for me to keep that promise. Do you see again? Here is adultery. He's going to find some way to commit adultery. Here is murder. He's going to find some way to commit murder. And here is truth. But here is a man that's going to find some way to tell a lie. But the Lord Jesus says, just tell the truth. That is all. Do you know why You require men to take an oath because you know men are liars. You say everybody's good. Well, why in the law courts do they compel you to put your hand on the Bible and swear to God that you're going to tell the truth? Because they know you're a liar. That's why. And the Lord Jesus said, it should not be so. Anything that is more than yea, yea, and nay, nay, I shall not go into all of the details. He said this, it's of evil. Why? Because I am evil, and you are evil, and even as children we know we're evil. Have you ever had somebody to make you a promise? Do you remember back when you were a child, and you would say to them, cross your heart and hope to die? Do you remember telling them that? Why did you say that? You say, because I know that children tell lies. Yes, the Bible says they go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. And if I were up here and telling you something, you see, and then later I didn't do it, I would say, I had my fingers crossed. Do you see? And since I had my fingers crossed, I can tell a lie and get by with it. And if I tell you something but don't cross my heart and hope to die, why, I can tell you a lie and get by with it. And if I swear to you, but I didn't swear by God, but I just swore by heaven, I didn't swear by God, then it's not binding. The Lord Jesus said, yes, it is. When you swore by heaven, it was God's dwelling place, and you are held responsible. And so Christians are to tell the truth. I can say this. In my lifetime, I can remember the lies that I've told, even as a child. And as a Christian, I can remember perhaps two times that I told a lie because I was trying to protect someone else, but I can remember, and I am ashamed that as a Christian I've done that, but to my knowledge, I've never told you a lie or told you a false doctrine in all the years I've been coming here. I've never told you a lie. And if you asked something of me and I said, yes, that would be enough. You wouldn't have to require any more of me. If I thought it through and I knew what you asked and I said, yes, you could count on it. And if I said, no, by God's grace, you could count on it. And if you said, well, swear to that, it would be unnecessary. As a child of God, as a follower of Him who is the truth, if I tell you something, as they used to say, His word is His bond. It should be that way. But the Bible says that Christians are to lie not one to another. Did you know that Christians tell lies? Do you tell lies? Do you deceive people? That's why it's so embarrassing. Someone will come up with this ridiculous-looking hat, and they'll say, what do you think about it? And here I have to tell the truth. And many times I may say something that could be taken two ways. I'll say, that is a striking hat you're wearing. Do you understand? But I wouldn't come right out unless you said, do you like it or do you dislike it? I would do anything I could to keep from disappointing you. But as Christians, God tells us to tell the truth. But notice, we're trying to evade the truth. I didn't swear by God, I swore by heaven. The Lord Jesus said, you are held responsible. Now this, let me show you the thinking of man. Man's mind thinks in one direction. Christ says, I want you to think in another direction. Think in the opposite direction. It says this, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You say, then, if a man gouges my eye or knocks out my tooth, I'm going to get his eye or his tooth. You haven't read the scripture and understood this, that it is not telling you you have to do it. It tells you that's the most you can do. That is keeping me from bashing you in the head if you injure my eye. God is limiting the evil that you can do to your brother. And a tooth? Well, I will destroy the man's mouth. No, you can only go so far. It's the same way with divorce. The Lord did not say, give her a writing of divorcement so that men could divorce wives. He was doing everything in His power at that time to legislate to prevent men from carelessly getting rid of their wives. Get out of the house and you are divorced. The Lord Jesus said you have to go through this procedure. He said that was only temporary because of the hardness of men's hearts. Do you understand? And all of these things, you will find out, that are contained in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, man says, then that is vengeance. We're to take vengeance. You'll find out that this is to limit the vengeance that man can take. And also, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. The Lord Jesus said, I'm telling you that you are to love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. All right. What does it mean? It means that we are not to hate anybody. We are to love. There is no vengeance. There is no justice. Yes, but the Lord Jesus says it's not yours. And I hope that you elders here have this much intelligence, that if someone does me an injury, you don't say to him, you can't do anything about it. Let him do it. Let him steal from you. Let him take everything you have. That isn't what the Lord says. He says, is there not one wise man among you who can decide among his brethren? If something is wrong, if a man is stealing from me, it is the responsibility of you brethren to set him in his place. And if he's done wrong and he continues to do wrong, then you remove him from the meeting. Don't you see that? It's not up to me. I can't retaliate. But in areas of things concerning the church, I come here, and wise men decide, and their decision is to be accepted. And if it's something like capital crime, like murder, it's out of your hands. It says, he is God's minister to thee for good. And let me tell you, when it says, you're not to take vengeance, vengeance is mine. The same word, he is an avenger of God to thee for good. You don't take the vengeance, but those in authority take the vengeance. It's not in your hands to do it. It is out of your hands. And so the Lord Jesus makes broad statements, and he expects you to think through them and to decide scripturally and intelligently how it's to be limited and how it's to be qualified. But don't you start leaning in the direction, well, anything I think, any qualification or limitation I give, that is the interpretation. By no means. If you must err, err on the side of love. But in most of the areas, there is no need to err at all. You have heard? Well, think it through and be wise in not believing everything you hear. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for all the truth, even if it comes to us imperfectly and in part, that we've heard. But we pray, our Father, that as thy Son instructed us, we shall go farther, that we shall think through these things, and again, what saith the Scripture. We pray, Father, concerning all who are lost who are here, who think that God being love, there is no hell. Thy Son has said there is a hell fire, and that God, who is compassionate and who loves to forgive men, that without any repentance on their part, they shall forgive. Show them, Father, that unless they repent, they shall likewise perish. And help us who are Christians to tell the truth and to love our wives and not to commit adultery and not to hate. And also, Father, let us understand the true interpretation of vengeance and love and all of these other things that thy Son speaks about. We pray, our God, that our ideal shall be thine ideal. Let us seek to be perfect as you, our Heavenly Father, are perfect. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.